guys, it's Lauren.
And I'm Megan, and this is episode one of the Scribe Squad pod, where we are going to be diving into chapter one of Fourth Wing.
Okie dokie.
So we've actually read this, we read this once through for our book club, and then we decided to go chapter by chapter and dig in because we felt like there was so much information and so many Easter eggs, things that we missed that we can't point out to everything. But I think just even preparing you for the information that you're taking in, because it comes so, as I was reading it, I was like, it starts at the very beginning.
And it gives like no background information on anything. You have no idea who these people are, where they're at, why they're doing this. And even in the first chapter, it doesn't even explain everything. So I feel like it's nice to have a resource.
And if you are like us and you're a big book nerd and you like to write notes or you're annotating your book, we've actually created a companion material that you can download off Etsy. We're on Everything is Scribe Squad Pod. We're going to try to post for you guys and get you, you know, all of the new information as it comes out, as we're posting new episodes, and of course, as new books come out. What do you know in them?
I think that somebody said it's being released potentially December 2024.
Nice.
So we've got a little while.
So disclaimer, we have read both Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, and we are going to try our best this episode to not do any spoilers, but anything in the deep dive is totally spoiler gonna happen. Yes, it's just gonna happen. Yeah. So if you've not read Fourth Wing, let's go on this adventure.
Hooray.
I got a way different feeling about this the second time I read it.
It's interesting that you say that too, because so my sister-in-law just started reading this.
Yes.
And she called me and she's like, I don't understand anything that's going on. Like, who are these people? What is a quadrant?
Yes.
Like, what is this like tail section? She said, I have no idea. Like, I don't even understand how to process this.
So it's funny coming into it, like the first, like as someone who's read it, you realize she's literally in the middle of like one of the biggest, like what could almost be a climax in other books.
Yes.
Like what could be the defining moment. And it is a like big defining moment, but it's crazy that they throw you in there.
I feel like there almost could be a prequel about what happened before and how they got here.
Ooh, Rebecca Yaris. There's an idea for you. We would read it for you.
Yes.
So the book starts out and our main character, Violet, she is getting ready to go through.
It's conscription day.
Say it again.
Conscription day.
Conscription day. And she starts immediately. I do think that as I was reading this, I realized Rebecca Yaris paints a really good picture of like what the scene actually looks like. Like she's climbing the stairs, coming into
the parapet and the turret. And
yes, she is very good about that.
So a couple of things that just in the first couple of pages, you get a couple of descriptions of people that you don't really know how they're related to each other, but you're getting some really big descriptions of people.
Actually, can I make us pause and go back?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a really good note on here, something that we've talked about since, but something that I want to call attention to, which is where it talks about this has been transcribed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was literally just reading this.
Yes. Do you care to read it all?
Yeah, I can read it. Do you want me to say something about it first?
No, just read it.
Okay, it says, the following text has been faithfully transcribed from the Nabarian into the modern language by Jasenia Neilwart, curator of the Scribes Quadrant at Bezgaeth War College. All events are true and names have been preserved to honor the courage of those fallen. May their souls be commended to Malak.
So when you first read that, like, what did you take away from it?
So when I first read it, it scared me.
Okay.
Also, I don't even know what any of those words are going into this book.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, somebody's writing a story for us. Like, what's going on? I guess when going back and reading it, like my second read, it almost scared me. Because I was like, oh no, does that mean that like everybody dies and she's writing the history?
I read that the first time I read it, I was like, this is like Harry Potter. It's got to all end in a big war.
Yeah.
Like, and while I feel like that series led us very slowly into what we realized had to be a war, I kind of like the fact that it was like, hey, there was something. People have fallen. There's obviously some kind of battle.
Yeah.
We don't know at this point who or what it's through, but we know that there's a battle and that there have fallen.
Yes.
The second thing I picked up on, even on my first read, was Malak is an important character.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I agree.
At the first time I read it, I'm like, oh, Malak is their god. But even within chapter one, a very small phrase, she says, oh my gods.
Yes, she does say that.
You realize it's Malak isn't the only God. Yeah. And I think that I didn't realize they kind of made that clear in chapter one of this book.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yes. So I picked up on that this first time, but not originally when I read it. So I think it's very interesting. It sets the tone for what the series is going to be.
And I also find it very interesting, and we'll talk about it more throughout the thing, but Malak is like the one that they mention the most.
Yes.
Malak. And then there's one other, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but the one of like luck or whatever. Yes. She talks about that a lot.
Yes.
Because she needs a lot of luck. So but Malak is a huge,
if you're following along with us in like your companion book, Malak is someone I note because he does get, or they get mentioned a lot as this God. They pray to Malak or thank Malak. And I love the way that it starts creating this world.
Yes.
Like there is a very, this is not in our world.
Correct. Yeah. It's very much a different world type of place. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree. Yes.
All right. So now, again, she's climbing up these stairs. It is conscription day.
Yes.
And we find out about quadrants. So if you're a math person like me, when I read quadrants, I automatically knew there were four.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are four. We know, what she's preparing for. Mm-hmm. I don't know how quickly it mentions it.
Okay. So it first starts out by explaining, just like talking about Violet in general. And it like says that she's like climbing these stairs to go to General Sorengel's office. We don't know who General Sorengel is. All we know is Violet's first name. So we have no recollection, or like, we don't know how they're related.
Yeah.
So she's like saying like, it's really hard to carry this like pack up to this office. And she, it talks about, like, again, it says, like, we have no context of who they are, but the way that Violet talks about General Sorengel, it's, like, very cold and, like, stranger-like. She's not super close with whoever this person is. And so that's our first introduction of General Sorengel.
So my favorite thing, which I'm going to go ahead and say, so we find out very quickly,
yep,
General Sorengel is her mother.
Yes.
My favorite thing is she wrote this, and if you are, I think, just versed in like literature or, you know, movies, regular thing, you assume it's going to be a man.
Yeah, 100%.
And I love 100%. That first shock.
Yes.
The first shock.
Yes. I didn't even think about that.
So let me point something out that I realized reading this again. The three main characters that speak in this chapter, all women.
And they all have like her sister, Mira, she's introduced in this chapter, lieutenant.
Yes.
She's automatically has title.
And I just like, as a strong woman,
yeah,
who like, I obviously advocate for, you know, being a strong woman, being a powerful woman. I love it because I know that this will get made into a movie. I know. And I can't wait for it to be the show. I can't wait to see strong women play this. So we walk in, we have General Sorengel is speaking to Mira, who we find out is her sister that she hasn't seen for three years.
Mm-hmm.
Since my understanding is since she went through this herself. Is that kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause they basically don't come home after they graduate.
Okay. That's what I kind of had picked. So I'm reading chapter by chapter as well. So with you guys, I've read through the whole series, but I'm only on chapter one again. Mm-hmm. So, you do not have a sister.
I do not have a sister.
I have a sister. And the fact of like thinking about going 3 years without seeing, I mean, you have a brother.
Yeah, but I don't see my brother very often.
I'm close. And so for me, this like really hit home because I like the thought of like saying goodbye to your sibling.
And not just saying goodbye, but having no contact.
Yes.
Essentially, no contact at all. 3 years. And letters maybe here and there, but face-to-face, not at all for 3 years.
So you have Mira and General Sorengel. They're going back and forth. They're arguing about Violet.
Mm-hmm.
And you already see, I love the way this is written because it's already framing your view on Violet and her relationship with her family and who she is, how she sees herself. And I think it's really, introduced really quickly. Her father and her brother have died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, males have died off, which I think is very interesting. But so now you understand the dynamics of this family.
Yeah. And also in regard to the dynamics, it introduces her dad who has passed, and he was a scribe.
Yes.
So he was not like of power of any sort. Like he followed his wife where she was stationed throughout the, you know, country. And he was just the stay-at-home parent, essentially, all three kids. Yeah.
So we walk in and they're fighting, and Mira is fighting for General Sorengel to not send her youngest daughter through the rider parapet. Is that what it's?
It's the writer quadrant, but yeah,
you have to cross the parapet. And Mira does not think that Violet can do it.
Yeah, it specifically describes Violet as like very fragile. That's a huge word throughout the entire book, the entire series so far. Is Violet is a very fragile. She's not necessarily like weak, but just fragile. Like she breaks her bones really easily, and like she's gone through a little bit of training, but she was like not set up for this quadrant whatsoever. She's just a very fragile person. She's very smart.
Yes.
It talks about how smart she is.
And if you're interested in like our deep dive, we're going to be going into the quadrants mm-hmm. and how each of those kind of line up with each other, because I think you get a lot out of this chapter after reading it again about each quadrant. Mm-hmm. So yes, you do. You find out she's very smart. The one thing, as I read this the first time, I automatically had a poor image of her mom. Yeah, I was like, she has a strained relationship. Mm-hmm. But then reading it the second time, so I came from a military college.
Yeah.
And so I saw a lot of my peers, you know, in these instances. And unfortunately, I lost some of my peers.
Yeah.
And I realized if you are a general, that's the only way you can be is kind of distance.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like at the first read of this, I was like, oh, what a horrible relationship she must have. And then the second time I was like, well, that's just a general.
Yeah. And also too, it's funny that you mentioned that, because after reading both books, you see what all General Thorngale has done to live through and the decisions she's had to make. And those are hard decisions. So I can't imagine trying to be close to somebody.
Yes. And again, so I think it boils down to she's a general.
Yeah.
And I think that like that went in, my bias was she's the mom. But then the reality is she is a general. And so it also introduces this idea that it first mentions dragons.
Yes. So they first mention dragons when they're actually describing Mira. So it says that she's got powerful muscles, toned from years of sparring, and hundreds of hours spent on the back of her dragon. So again, we don't know why there are dragons. We don't know what's going on with the dragons, but we know there are dragons. And not only is Mira like this very tough girl, but she's also a lieutenant. Mm. And she has a title, and she's very good at what she does. That's all we kind of know about Mira so far.
And I think that like, obviously, based on the book, you can see that dragons are going to be a main part of this. And I think it's such a great, it's so interesting that Mira is the first one that introduces it. And then Mira really is the one that starts teaching us about dragons with how she starts preparing Violet.
Yes, yeah.
So obviously they're going back and forth, and Violet has accepted her fate.
Yeah. 100%.
She, even though everyone else she's going to go against has been training for years, and she says she has only been training for 6 months, mm-hmm. she was prepared to go into the scribe squadron. And so she has just accepted her fate. She's going to go through, she's going to give it her all. And that is one thing I feel like I really respect.
Yeah.
About Violet, about she's handling the situation. I would personally be freaking out.
Gotta go.
And
she is very, and I think that is throughout her character development. It's like she is very strong on her word. Like if she makes up her mind about something, there is nothing that's going to stop her.
Yes.
And that is her throughout the entirety of the series.
Yeah. So she's decided it's happening, and she doesn't even try to fight it. Mira's trying to fight it, but she's accepted it.
Yep.
She is ready.
Yes.
The one thing that I picked up that I want to talk about more in the deep dive is they say they phrase it very interesting. You will not be just like in the scribe. Like they kind of start creating this hierarchy, mm-hmm. and it gets reaffirmed later within the chapter of the writers are elite.
Oh, yes.
So
oh,
yeah. mm-hmm. the way she even speaks about her past husband isn't necessarily in the light of he was a scribe.
Yeah.
And you have a great quote written here, which is you are the daughter of a writer.
Yeah.
And you find out even within this chapter, it's a legacy thing. Mm-hmm. Writers create writers, strong bloodlines. And I think that is just interesting how this hierarchy is starting to be created within the quadrants.
And also too, and we might get into this a little bit, but even when they talk about conscription day, they talk about how there's like thousands, it's all 20-year-olds. There's mm-hmm. thousands of 20-year-olds. And the ways that you're able to get into the quadrants is you are either conscripted, which is basically like you're drafted from all over the continent, or you volunteer to go into it, or like some of them take a test to like see where they would be put. But the Writer's Quadrant, you can only volunteer.
Yes.
It's only volunteers because, I mean, you die.
Yes.
Like, you die.
You're going to, there's a high yes. there's a high percentage of them yes. that die. And, I mean, you see it. I know you guys have read chapter one. You see it.
Yeah.
At the end of chapter one, we face our first death.
Yeah.
And I think that's so interesting that they expose you so quickly.
I agree.
That there's going to be a lot of death in this
and
book.
And I think it's a good buildup too, because one thing that Violet says, again, throughout the entire series so far is, I will not die today.
Yes.
I will not die today. She just like constantly reminds her, it's like manifestation.
Yes. You know, yes. I believe in
and
it.
And so you're constantly getting this, like even from the beginning, oh my gosh, I touched that.
I think you guys remember we said this was our first time podcasting. So I apologize for that brief interruption. Not only is our first time podcasting, there are like tornadoes outside today. So we had a small interruption, but we're going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about going through the parapet, right? And oh, I think we were specifically talking about how she has this mantra of, I'm not going to die today.
I'm not going to die today. Yeah, we're talking about just like death in general.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We face death in the first chapter, as you see, to skip ahead, you see that Dylan slips and falls. And I think it's such, like, at the introduction of Dylan, I was like, oh, this is going to be a big character. And then
I know, because you get Bree, and then you get Dylan. And, Dylan's like talking about like, oh, it's bad luck to get engaged before you go.
Yes.
And like, you can't get married. So I'm like wearing this ring. Oh, we're going to get a story as soon as we get on.
The one thing I will say about the conversation with Soren Gale and Violet and Mira is Soren Gale believes she can finish.
Oh, yeah. So her mom specifically says that. Yes. She's like, I have a note about it because
Violet deals with more pain before lunch than you do in an entire week. If any of my children is capable of surviving the Writer's Quadrant, it's her.
Yes. And she says that specifically to Mira, who's talking about how like Violet
she can't
would never
hold
make
up,
it.
Yeah, she can't hold up her bag.
Yes.
So think that's interesting.
I agree.
Because I think that when you realize she's lost her son, she's not going to risk a child she doesn't think that's going to get through.
Yes.
And it also, again, shows us there's something weird about Violet.
And there's also some weird connection that I still don't even know after reading the second book. Like, there is something about Violet to General Soren Gale.
Yes.
That is important. And also, it's one thing to note is that when Violet is describing her siblings, she says that General Soren Gale respects Mira.
Yes.
But loved Brennan. The only child she actually loved.
And yes.
So his death was very hard
and
for her.
And you can tell that it was hard for the entire family.
Yes.
Like the way that they talk, even as you continue on in the chapter, he is a character in this book.
Mm-hmm.
He is fully in this book, even with them talking about him in the past tense.
Yes.
Like I pointed that out to them at the, like when I was reading it and we were texting, I'm like, hey, he's a main character.
Yeah.
Like this is something I'm picking up. So I think that'll come. And I think the one other thing that we need to mention about this meeting before we kind of get to the parapet part, because I think that's such a big part is it mentions, as you start realizing that the people have powers. So for them, they don't say their powers. They call them signets.
Yes.
And General Soren Gale's signet is she wields storms. So when she's talking about it, they say like the temperature shifted in the room because of that storm wielding.
Mm-hmm.
It does not mention Mira's power. Is that right?
No, it does not mention her powers. But I will say the one thing that it does mention is how they get powers. So
yes.
It says that there's a specific line that says that her signet as a storm wielding that she channels through her dragon Aemseer. So you know that not only do they have powers, but they get them by their dragon.
Yes.
Like they are connected to their dragon.
And she even like heeds her this warning of like, don't try to wield power without a dragon.
Yes. Yes.
So that sets up an idea that I'd never realized. Can you have power without a dragon? Like, because she says, don't do it without being bonded. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
So there is you can have it without this idea.
And another thing I want to note, a couple of things. So it talks about Violet's hair. I think that's worth mentioning.
Yes.
So it talks about Violet's hair is like brown, and then toward the middle of her hair, it's like silver gray.
Yes.
It loses all of its color. And it talks about how when General Soren Gale was pregnant with Violet, she got sick with some kind
of mystery illness.
Yeah. It's like a fever of some sort. And then she was born that way, and her mom told her she needs to cut her hair because everybody's going to know who she is, the Writer's Quadrant. And Violet specifically says, it doesn't matter how I cut my hair. it's always going to have this look to it.
So that gets us into, okay, so Mira accepts the fate. Okay, my sister's going in. She does what any big sister would do, any sibling. Mm-hmm. She starts to prepare her. And she says that Brennan did this for her too.
Yes.
So again, Brennan gets mentioned. He's a main character in this chapter. So she immediately goes, the first thing she does is the boots. Yes. I think she's like, hey, take those off. Yes. You need rider boots. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the first time when she starts talking about the boots and like changing her clothing and all the stuff, I'm like, oh, like this isn't just like a hop, skip, and a jump. Yeah. Like they're going to be fighting.
Yes.
She also says they're going to try to kill her.
Yes.
They're going to be after you. So it sets the tone of like the Sorengels are not highly favored just because they're the general's family.
Exactly.
They, and actually it starts talking about, Mira starts giving her advice, and we'll get a little bit into on, and not only is she not favored, she is going to be like
hated. Yeah.
People
are going to hate her just because she's General Sorengel's daughter.
Yes.
Exactly.
So she has like, I feel like when you're a coach's kid, you have one of two realities. You're completely favored without talent,
mm-hmm.
or your dad, your parent is so hard on you because they know you can.
Exactly.
And I think that like, that's kind of this dynamic of like, they expect more out of her.
Yeah.
The other thing about this is when she's putting on the clothing, mm-hmm. she says that there are, sheaths for her daggers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
in the leathers.
Yes. In the leathers. And that she only has 4 original daggers.
Yes.
And Violet says, but you'll earn more. Mm-hmm. So like you see that daggers are a sense of currency in a way, and we'll find out later how you earn them. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was interesting that we got that mention. And then there's something special about her armor.
There is. So Mira gives her like the armor. And also, it's another thing to mention, too, because they're going through her rucksack and she's like taking out all this stuff. And, you know, Violet's fighting her over it. She's like, I was born to be a scribe. And so I've got all these books and like I can carry it. The biggest thing is you can take whatever you want into the Rider Squadron as long as you can carry. So she's taking out all this stuff. And so one of the things that Mira specifically gives her is like an armor, a body armor, essentially. And like Violet's looking at it and she was like, this is like dragon scale. The heck, you don't get leathers until you're actually a cadet.
Yes.
Which is not until you pass the paraphernalia. And Mira specifically says, if you can carry it in,
you can have it. The other thing that I think is important to note with that is she asked her, have you read, the book, what's the book that they go by?
The Codex.
The Codex. She mm-hmm. said multiple times, but it's very small because writers don't follow rules.
Yes.
So I think that's interesting that even if there was a rule, there'd probably be an exception for mm-hmm. them because mm-hmm. writers challenge. You figure out very quickly, writers are very challenging to what I'd say the status quo is.
Yes. And it also talks about that too when they're talking about like the infantry and like what they're wearing.
Yes.
And they were basically like, well, the writers wear whatever they want because they don't follow any rules.
So you get set up. So the other thing they mention is, of course, the one book she's so upset about is from her father.
Yes.
Does not sound like she has a lot left from her father, and it sounds like she was given this. The interesting thing, and I'm gonna directly, you know, we're not gonna elaborate. Honestly, we don't have anything to elaborate with.
Yeah,
it says that it is folklore about dragons being evil, and so I think that's interesting because there is. It also mentions like some characters, and the other one that they mention are Gryphons.
Yes. Oh, and also another thing she says is she corrects her on the venom, too.
Venom, that's what it was.
Vermin. She called them vermin. And Violet's like, no, it's venom.
It's venom.
And also another thing that I'd like to like point out, too, is one thing about the author, Rebecca Yarros, is she does not use words without them actually meaning something.
Intention. She's like Taylor Swift in that way.
Yes. Taylor Swift is her favorite artist, so she's a big Easter egg girly. One of the things that they talk about is one of these books or one of the books that Mira's like trying to take out of her rucksack. She doesn't need it. And she's like, no, that's the one thing of my dad. She was like, this is a silly allegory.
Mm.
So she calls it an allegory and not folklore. And if you know the difference of those
interesting
terms, like, you know, that's huge. That verbiage is very huge.
I think that too, that's so big. So there's going to be stuff that we don't even pick up on. Yes. We have gotten together with quite a few of our friends and talked about different words she uses. And we're going to have guests on to kind of give their opinions, because our theories and stuff we're going to create in these deep dives aren't just, I mean, they're just theories and a lot of things, but we want to hear y'all's too. So if you have like your words you picked out that like we didn't pick up on, give them out to us, because we are interested in all of the theories.
Yes, we love theories.
So, okay, we'll go through. The other thing is she mentions two people when talking to Violet. She mentions one for her to go to and one for her to steer clear of. Mm-hmm. The one she wants to her to go to is Dane Eidos. Mm-hmm. And she says he will put you like in, where you need to be. Find him. He's a second year.
Mm-hmm.
And she also makes it clear that not to date anyone outside of first year, because they'll look at you kind of less, which is interesting too. That like just an interesting concept of like, hey, don't sleep your way to the top.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, when they first mentioned Dane, we don't know really who he is, what their relationship is, other than the fact that they basically grew up together and Violet like has a crush on him. She always wanted to like date him and stuff. And they grew up together, like running around with each other, but it doesn't specifically mention like how they know each other, why they grew up together, anything like that. It just mentions that they grew up together and that she kind of has a crush on him.
Yes, which is interesting, because anything we know about the military general, like, you know, that that's not typically a steady like life.
Right.
So they have somehow managed to keep this relationship going. Right,
exactly.
And then the second name she mentions is Zayden.
Yes.
And she says to steer clear. Mm-hmm. He is a third year. Steer clear of him. He is coming after you. He's going to murder you. There's no question in Mira's tone. There's the message is very clear. He's coming after to kill you.
Yes.
And part of that, you find out that there was a rebellion, mm-hmm. and that his father was the rebellion leader. Mm-hmm. And that is very, you know, important to just set up the dynamics of this is not only like, could there be an external war? There's some internal wars that they have been fighting.
And it's also fresh. They're fresh off the war, like 3 years off the war.
I think, too, the fact that you start hearing about, they talk about torturing the kids, mm-hmm. In this book. And I think the dynamic of, like, punishing children for their parents' action has, like, I don't know if you ever watched The 100, like, mm-hmm. it's on Netflix, same concept. Mm-hmm. And the way you view those leaders change, because for those of us who have children, like the idea of like your children's carrying your sins, very interesting. But okay, so she is warned. Mira hugs her, which is a big deal. They don't have, it doesn't sound like a very emotional relationship.
Yeah.
But I think Mira thinks this could be the last time she's ever going to see Violet.
Yeah. And I think Violet also like hints at the fact that she was like, my sister actually hugged me. She's never hugged me before. Like, this is a very odd thing. We know that like this, and they also talk about, like, I know we're about to get into talking about the parapet, but they talk about like the percentage of cadet or, you know, candidates that die every single year.
Yes.
Just trying to get in here. And so Mira already thinks less of Violet. I think she's going to make it. And so Violet's like, whoa, this is weird. My whole family's acting weird.
So then we're at the parapet. And one of the things Mira heeded her was not to make friends, to only make alliances.
Yes.
And you see right away she is not going to adhere to that rule. It's not in her nature.
Yes.
And one of the things that I picked up on was there's two parts of her kind nature that show in this chapter.
Yes.
The first of which is she meets Dylan. She meets Free. She is immediately like, Free, take off that boot.
Yep.
You're going to slip. She gives up 50% of her stronghold on that rock to save someone else.
Yes. But, and again, I think that's such a good character, beginning of character building.
Yes, I agree. And you see that she's interested in learning about Dylan. And one of the things, like, that if you have ever been in any kind of military or anything, like, sometimes knowing a lot about someone makes them harder when you lose them. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's interesting that she chooses to turn around and really get to know the people in front of her.
Yeah, exactly. And also, so they're also, like, going up the, they call it a turret, and they like go up these stairs to get to the, because the parapet's like very high up, very narrow, just rock. And people are like asking questions about it, because some people have never been here. But Violet, it says, like, grew up here, and she's like spouting off facts about it. And they're all just looking at her like, what the heck, basically? Like, how do you know all this information? So I think that that's interesting too, because Violet's smart.
Yes. And that is one thing that they said, like, her intelligence will help her get through. And I think you start seeing it right away. Like, she took her scribe training very seriously. She memorized so much about these things.
Yes.
And I think that that is such an integral part of her character.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, so she's spouting out, like, two candidates died last year just climbing. Like, they didn't even make it to cross. They just died climbing.
They climbed up the stairs to get there and felt their... And she said two, not including the one that... that person that fell on somebody. So technically three people died just walking up there. One of them was a complete accident.
So you know that the storm is building. Mm-hmm. Mira mentions it. You know they've just climbed up the top and now we're at the parapet. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a giggling guy behind her. And so when I don't know. I got bad vibes immediately from the guy giggling. I think there's something like nefarious when you hear someone laughing. Imagine standing in line for like the deadliest moment.
Fine.
Like pointing and laughing. I got high school girl vibes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, some, like, made me chilled, gave me anxiety.
Gave me a little bit of anxiety.
Which that doesn't go any further in this chapter, but it just immediately bad vibes from the guy giggling. Yes. So we meet Dylan. Mm-hmm. They share their story. And unfortunately, Dylan, you know, he falls.
Yes.
And that's kind of the end of his story. And mm-hmm. and as far as we know right now, in this. And so I think that's a great part for that. But then let's talk about our seeing Zayden.
Oh no, we got to talk about that. So we don't know Zayden. They do talk a little bit about, because another thing to mention too, because I think this plays a big part, is the relics, like the rebellion relics. They go into detail about how she was like, oh my gosh, like that's one of them. It's almost like they are
branded.
Yes, but it's almost like a little bit, not like racist, but a little bit just like prejudice. These people who have the relic means that their family was part of the rebellion.
Yes.
And it says, Violet specifically mentioned, she was like, the only other relic that I've seen is the one that you get from your dragon. Mm. The one that your dragon places on you when you bond a dragon. She mentions that in the first chapter. And she was like, they're all on their arms. And so she was like, you can specifically point out these people. So then we meet Zayden.
So I'm a big romance novel girlie.
Me too.
When I read her describing his eyes, I immediately was like, this is going somewhere. Mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. you don't look at someone's eyes and take note of them if there isn't more. And so for me, in my head, I was immediately like, I think there's got to be something more to this.
Yeah.
There's not in this. You see their first interaction is anything but pleasant.
Yes.
He is taking her in from top to bottom.
Yes.
That is one thing as I'm reading. He is observing her. And two things become clear. Zayden blames her for his parents, or Soren-Gales.
Yeah, the Soren-Gales.
For the death. Mm-hmm. And she blames Zayden for killing her brother.
Brennan, yes.
And I think that's a dynamic to set up that that's going into their relationship.
Yeah.
But it did. I was like, obviously I know he's not going to murder her right here. There would be no more.
Well, and
book.
That's also against the codex,
yes,
too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have to cross in. Yeah. So you just know automatically he's going to be a big character.
Yes.
He's described as a guy who has big muscles. I mean, she is like going into detail about him.
He's just a hunk of man candy.
Yeah. He's 6'4". He's got dark eyes.
Muscles.
Yes. So when I was reading this, I thought in my head, I pictured Zayden being a person of color.
Yeah. And I think Rebecca Yarros has confirmed that he's a person of color because it says he's got very dark skin.
Yes.
Like dark hair.
Which I love to see that representation. Yes. So I in my mind, that was who it was. So it's interesting to see fan art and like you see Zayden's white. For me, I'm always like, oh,
no,
that's not what
no,
I pictured.
Yeah, me neither.
But I, from this first description,
same.
I was like, he's a person of color.
Yes. I agree.
And you know, she describes him as like being near perfect, astonishingly perfect, actually.
Yes.
The most exquisite man she has ever seen.
She's like really loving what she's looking at.
Yeah, she's like, I'm about to die, but let me take in this one last slice of cake. You know what I mean? And it's a very serious moment. Yeah. So this chapter leaves off. She unfortunately just watched. She met Zayden. She keeps going. And unfortunately, you watch Dylan die, which I think if that's a hard read for you, prepare, because the rest of this book is full of tragedy. Don't fall in love with any characters.
Yeah. It's like Game of Thrones-esque. Like, you can't fall in love with anybody.
Even if they're a main character, you don't know what's happening. Exactly. So I think that's the end of chapter one for us. So we're going to try to have episodes for chapter two and three up shortly. And I hope you guys are enjoying us going through. We're going to go to our deep dive if you want a little bit more, like we always do.
Always.
We'll see you at the next, or we'll hear you. You'll hear us, whatever it is.
Toodles.
See us. Bye.